Hello, everyone. This is the CircuitPython weekly meeting for March 2nd, 2026. It's the time of the week where we get together to talk about all things CircuitPython. I'm Scott, and I'm sponsored by Adafruit to work on CircuitPython. CircuitPython is a version of Python designed to run on tiny computers called microcontrollers. CircuitPython development is primarily sponsored by Adafruit, so if you want to support Adafruit and CircuitPython, consider purchasing hardware from adafruit.com. We are running a sale this week on keyboards, so if you want to take a look at those keyboards for sale, head to adafruit.com. This meeting is hosted on the Adafruit Discord server. You can join anytime by going to the URL adafru.it/discord. We hold the meeting in the CircuitPython dev text channel and the CircuitPython voice channel. This meeting typically happens on Mondays at 2 p.m. Eastern US, 11 a.m. Pacific, except when it coincides with a US holiday. In the notes doc, there's a link to a calendar you can view online or add to your favorite calendar app. We also send notifications about upcoming meetings via Discord. If you'd like to receive these notifications, ask to add us to add you in the CircuitPython Nisa's Discord role. There is a shared notes document that accompanies the meeting and recording. You can contribute to this document beforehand. The final notes document includes timestamps to go along with the video, so you can use the doc to skip around and view the parts of the video that interest you most. The meeting tends to run 30 to 60 minutes, and after each meeting, we post a link for the next meeting's notes document to the CircuitPython dev channel on the Adafruit Discord. Check the pinned messages to find the latest notes doc so you can add your notes for the following meeting. If you wish to participate but cannot attend, you can leave hug reports and status updates in the meeting for us to read during the meet. For us to read during the meeting. There are five parts to the meeting. The first is community news. This is a look at all things CircuitPython and Python on hardware in the community. It's a chosen set of items from our Python on Microcontrollers newsletter. Second, we have the state of CircuitPython libraries in Blinka. This is a quantitative overview of the entire project. It's a chance to look at the project by the numbers, separate from our status updates. Third, Hug Reports is an opportunity to highlight the good things folks are doing, taking the time to recognize the awesome folks in our community. Fourth, status updates. It's an opportunity to report on what we've been up to. Take a couple of minutes and talk about what you've been doing in the last week since the last meeting and what you'll be doing over the next week. Fifth and final is in the weeds. It's an opportunity for long-form discussions. These discussions can come out of status updates or be something you've identified ahead of time as too long for status updates. And that covers how the meeting will go, and I'll go to community news. Can other folks hear me? I see Anne can't hear, but let's just confirm that. Okay, Tim and Carter can hear me. Thank you, Tim and Carter. Let's go to community news after I take a time code. So this is a preview from the Python for Microcontrollers newsletter, which I will plug at the end here. The first item we have from the newsletter is MicroReticulum for MicroPython released. MicroReticulum is a pure MicroPython implementation of the Reticulum network stack designed to run on microcontrollers like the ESP32 and the Raspberry Pi Pico W. There's a GitHub link. Tim's posted the links in the chat as well. Reticulum is a cryptography-based networking stack for building local and wide-area networks with readily available hardware. Reticulum can continue to operate even in adverse conditions with very high latency and extremely low bandwidth. The vision of Reticulum is to allow anyone to operate their own sovereign communications network. Next up, MicroClaw up. Is an AI-powered ESP32 GPIO controller written in MicroPython. 1.6374 has created MicroClawUp to control ESP32 GPIO with natural language via Telegram. This uses MicroPython and the Grok AI. You send a natural language message on Telegram, Grok AI converts it to a hardware command, and your ESP32 executes it. Inspired by ZClaw, which is in C, tested on ESP32 C3, S3, and C6, there's Reddit and GitHub links. The features include natural language GPIO control, Grok AI completely free, persistent memory across reboots, Wi-Fi auto reconnect, slash status and slash help commands, and easy setup with Python via setup.py. Next up, We have MicroPython brings flip dot displays into the 21st century. Maker Generally OK Times received a flip dot display like that used on buses, high visibility and cute. The display is driven by the STM32 controller that speaks to an ESP8285 running MicroPython. Driving the display is a board called the Flippity 210. The board is being tested out in a series of MicroPython experiments. The display successfully ran Conway's Game of Life and a clock, though the limited RAM of the ESP8285 made heavy HTTPS requests, such as fetching public transit schedules, impractical. And there's links to Codeberg and Hackster.io. The editor, Anne, says maybe the project could use a decent ESP32S3 for data retrieval. And that comes from the Python and Microcontrollers Weekly Newsletter. It's a CircuitPython community-run newsletter emailed every Monday. The complete archives are available at adafruitdaily.com/category/CircuitPython. It highlights the latest Python on hardware-related news from around the web, including CircuitPython, Python, and MicroPython developments. To contribute your own news or project, email cpnews@adafruit.com. And we appreciate your contributions. Thanks to Anne for leading that. Next up, state of CircuitPython libraries in Blinka. This is a statistical overview of the kind of big core parts of the CircuitPython project. First, I will start overall and then we'll go into the individual pieces. Overall, we had 18 pull requests merged from 9 different authors. So new names to me are Samson0V, Alec Bike, so thanks to them. We had 5 reviewers, thanks to all of our reviewers. If you're interested in contributing, leveling up from, or always doing reviews is super helpful. The more reviewers we have, the more authors we can get merged in. So that's always welcome. We had six closed issues by 5 people and 7 open by 6 people. So we're net up 1, but have a good amount of people involved. Next up, I'll go through the numbers for the core, and then we'll kick it over to Tim for the numbers for the libraries. So for the core, we had 12 pull requests merged from 5 different authors, including the Weblate bot. We had 2 reviewers, myself and Dan. We had 23 open pull requests, so we are a couple under our goal of staying on a single page, which is 25. Issues-wise, we had 5 closed issues by 4 people, 5 open by 4 people. So 4 people involved and net 0 in terms of number of issues. Issues-wise, we had 843 open issues. We used the milestone system to track prioritization for us Adafruit-funded folks. We have 2 open issues on 10.1x, 1 open issue for 10.2, 104 open issues on 10xx, which is the it'd be nice to get to these in the short term. And we have 0 issues not assigned to milestones, so we are keeping up to date. And those are the most urgent issues and how many we've got. Next up, let's kick it over to Tim for an update on the libraries.
Right. Thank you, Scott. This section does cover all the CircuitPython libraries, which are hosted on GitHub. We have them organized into bundles. So we have the Adafruit library bundle, which has 382 libraries in it currently. We have the community library bundle with libraries submitted by members of the community. That one has 174 libraries in it for a total right now of 556 different libraries that support CircuitPython devices. Across the Adafruit bundle for the past 7 days, we had 5 pull requests merged by 4 different authors. I think Scott mentioned these names before, but echoing that, Alec Bike and Samson OV are names that I do not recognize as being in these lists, frequently week to week. So thanks to them, newer contributors. Thanks also to Mike Skillar for authoring PRs that got in this week. Reviewers, we had 4 reviewers. Thanks to Dan, Scott, Lady Ada, and myself. In terms of the pull requests that were merged, they were all basically on the newer side of things. The oldest one was just 8 days. The newest one was 1 day. That leaves us with 42 pull requests open across the Adafruit Bundle libraries. The oldest one of those is a draft that is 1,292 days. The newest one is 1 day. Issues-wise, we had one issue closed by one person, two new issues opened up by two people, which leaves us right now with 772 issues that are open across all of those Adafruit Bundle library repos. There are currently two of them that are labeled as good first issues. You can find those as well as the rest of all of the issues listed out at circuitpython.org/contributing, which is the website where you should head if you are interested in getting involved in CircuitPython. The first place that we tend to point folks who just want to get involved but don't have a specific thing they want to work on is reviewing PRs. So you can, that's the first thing when you see when you load that page, circuitpython.org/contributing, see a list of open PRs. These are links to GitHub. They're waiting for a person to review the changes in that PR. So you can take a look over the changes either there in the GitHub web interface, or you can clone that repo, check out the branch that the PR is on. You can look at it locally if you like. Leave a comment on GitHub letting us know what you found. You can look it over for things like syntax, spelling, logic, anything like that. If you have the hardware for whatever library that is, you can test it out on a device and include that information in your comment. Let us know how it went when you tested it, if you were able to do so, and include information about like what device you use, what version of CircuitPython, and all that good stuff. If you get comfortable with that process, would like to get leveled up to join the official sort of review team we have on GitHub, we can work with you to add you to that team. If you would like to start submitting some of your own code contributions, you can also do that from the same page, circuitpython.org/contributing. If you click over to the issues link in the navigation, you see a similar looking list of links to GitHub, but these ones represent issues instead of PRs. There's no proposed change yet. This is just an idea waiting for a person to come along and actually do the work to make it a reality, and that could be you if you want to get involved. For this one, you would kind of read up on the issue, figure out what it is. It might be fixing a bug or adding a new feature or enhancement. And then you would submit your own PR to resolve that issue. We do have a learn guide for contributing to CircuitPython using Git and GitHub. We also have folks who are more than happy to help you out here on the Discord. So if you are trying to get involved, whether that's reviewing or submitting some of your own PRs, and you are having trouble with any part of the process, like the actions or the pre-commits or the workflows or Git in general, just come say hi on Discord. Let us know what you're up to. We would be happy to get you some help. We want everyone to be able to contribute in a way that works for them. And I will leave you with library updates for the last 7 days. Over in the community bundle, we got the new Things Board client SDK. So if you have that hardware, check that out. There's support in the community bundle now, and updates to Synth Voice and Funk Tools as well. And that is it for libraries this week. Thanks.
Thank you, Tim. All right, next up we have numbers for Blinka. So Blinka is the CircuitPython API compatibility layer that sits on top of either MicroPython or CPython Linux. One pull request was merged from maker Melissa, reviewed by myself and Melissa. There are 20 open pull requests across the smattering of Blinka-related repositories. No issues came in and none were closed, so there are still a total of 146 open issues. And there are 166 supported boards on Blinka. Next up is Hug Reports. This is the first of two round robins. First, I'll start, and then I'll go through the folks in the list on the notes document. I was going to say Discord. If you want to add Hug Reports and status updates, but cannot attend the meeting or don't want to speak, feel free to drop them in here in any way. Mention that you're not present or you're just text only in the chat, and I'm happy to read those off. So I will start first with Hug Reports. Hug Reports are a chance to say thank you to folks in the community for what they've been doing and reinforce what we value as a community. So I'll start, and I just have a hug for Marshall, aka Camo Cat, I think, for investigating async bus IO, which is very exciting and got me interested as well. Next up, let's go to Dan.
Yeah, I could thank Scott for talks you've had about fixing bugs that I'm working on and kind of some higher level strategic direction talks involving Zephyr and other things. And then thanks to Keen 101 and W4IEI, both are those are GitHub user IDs for recent bug reports, which have been very helpful. And that's it.
Thank you, Dan. Next up is Foamy Guy.
All right, thanks, Scott. I have a hug report to one of the developers from the Moonshine Voice project, Evan King, who validated and worked on a quick fix for an issue that I reported on their Discord last week. And another hug thanks to Tektric, who has submitted lots of great fixes and improvements to libraries and infrastructure recently. I'm working my way through them. I know there's some more out there, and it looks like some discussion in the weeds for some others. So thanks to Tektric for all of the work.
Thank you, Tim. All right, next up we have from notes from Tektric that I'll read off. It says, hug report to Foamy Guy for all the PR reviews and a group hug. All right, next section we have here is called In the Weeds, or Status Updates. I'm getting ahead of myself. Status Updates is also a round robin where we talk about what we've been working on in the past week and what we're working on in the coming week. It's great to just get an idea of what everybody's working on and offering thoughts across different tasks and giving people tips and tricks. So it's also cool to just see what people are working on. For me, I'm still in Zephyr land. I hopefully fixed a flaky Zephyr BLE test that I was having to like rerun tests for on the GitHub Actions. Hopefully that's not going to be a problem this week. I also fixed the issue with the S3 crashing on startup due to the IDF 553 change that I did where there's a function asking, like, is BLE advertising, I think, and it used to just say no when you weren't initialized, and now it crashes when you're not initialized. So I had to guard against being enabled there. Host networking using the native SIM for Zephyr is merged in. This allows us to test web workflow, which is cool, along with like the socket APIs for Zephyr. I also merged in GPIO input and Rotary.io testing, and that's based on reading a Perfetto trace and mimicking like GPIO changes with that. I'm working on Zephyr display support. It works in the native SIM and on a couple of boards, but the boards have incorrect colors. And the RA8, which is a very beefy microcontroller, is quite slow. So I kind of am curious about that. I also, after some discussion with Dan, decided to stop tracking the latest Zephyr release and just track main instead. All of this work is still very experimental, and like part of the reason we're doing it is to get support for the latest and greatest stuff, so it makes more sense to just track main. For example, this RA8 issue might be fixed already, so it's better to just track main. I was also running into issues with like upstreaming stuff. If I'm working months behind, it makes upstreaming harder as well. The other thread that I'm pulling is getting BLE connecting working. So this is going from we have advertising and scanning, and the next step is connecting to a device, and then we'll go from there. I'm trying to keep my changes small because LLMs make them so easy to make big. And then logistics-wise, I'm out on Friday, so Tim will be deep diving in my spot, and I think he probably has more news as well about that. Let's go to Dan for his status update.
Okay, I'm working on several bugs that are seem to be interrelated. There's SPI pin management. There's been a regression about that. There's an SPI locking problem in Espressif. We get hangups, especially when you're trying to do SD card and display at the same time. And when the SD card is available to USB. So what happens is that there's some operation that's being done from a USB, and it turns out that's kind of done at a higher priority level than the rest of the stuff, and it locks out the other stuff. And interestingly, almost kind of idly, I asked Claude about what was going on here because I kind of wanted some explanation of a particular choice about task priorities and about using something called vtask delay, which is a free RTOS function to switch contexts. And it was actually quite helpful in looking at the code and saying, hey, there's this weird, this thing might be a problem. And it seemed, sometimes, obviously, it's always confident, but in this case, it seems to be right. And it even actually also pointed out some an ax something where there was a copy paste error where the same code appeared twice, and it pointed that out in the course of looking at this code. So I thought that was interesting. And this was not a very long Claude session. This was like a few seconds of work on its part. So that's it for me.
Great. All right, next up is Foamy Guy.
All right. So this past week, the Moonshine voice control for Raspberry Pi guide was published. So you can find that on the Learn System now. I looked into MicroPython OS a little bit, and the thing that it's built on top of, which is LVGL MicroPython. I added a touch driver for the TSC 2007 to LVGL MicroPython, and I made a build of MicroPython OS that works for the Metro S3 with a 2.8-inch TFT shield on top. So that is a cool sort of new platform with Adafruit hardware that can support that MicroPython OS that popped up in the newsletter a couple weeks back is where I first learned about that. I have been working on anti-aliasing for fonts, so support for that is merged into bitmap font and display text. I submitted a follow-up PR in display text that has some example code that shows the four main supported levels of bit depth so that you can see like visually what the difference between each of them are for any given font or for the test font, and then you could swap it out for your own, obviously. I looked into LVFont.io in the core to try to get anti-aliasing work there with the like sort of default serial terminal that shows on the display. It can work, but I ran across two sort of caveats. One of them is the way that we measure height currently ends up clipping the bottom pixels of some fonts. The default one that we use fits within the space we have, so it's not a problem with that one. But when you switch it out, some of them get a couple pixels clipped off. And then the other caveat I found was the font we use called Unifont. When you render it at the size we use, which is 16, I believe, even if you enable the multi-bit depth, it still seems to just come out as one bit. If you kind of inspect the bitmap data in the font, there's really only zeros and ones, so to speak. There's black and white. There's no in-between color. So I don't know if that's like a property of the font itself, if it's like too thin or something, or if that is potentially an issue with the converter. But I did find if you use a bigger size, then you get in between pixels and the anti-aliasing can work. And I also found there are some other fonts you can use, although there were problems with some of them as well, too, that I'll still, I think, look into a bit more. But that is where we are at with anti-aliasing. So, yeah, you can use that now with bitmap label if you want to use that in your own projects with LV font binary files. And then last thing I have this week is just a note, new stream I'll be starting up on Tuesdays at 11 a.m. Eastern, which is 8 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Central. So I will do sort of the same format as Deep Dive, just on a different day and time, Tuesday mornings. So you can tune into that. I'll do the first one starting tomorrow, and it will just be a check-in on what I am working on. So I'm looking forward to that. Thanks.
And that's on the Adafruit channel.
Correct. Yep. Yeah. That'll be on Adafruit's YouTube and Twitch and everything.
Awesome. Okay, and last up, we have notes from Tetrick. Tetrick says they are updating my community libraries with new functionality tests and code coverage metrics, finding and preparing some fixes for some infrastructure in the bundles, and still hoping to get into more CI work built on top of the Zephyr OS work at the core. Thanks for the answers and discussion from the In the Weeds previously. That's a great segue. Thank you, Tactric. So the final section here we have is called In the Weeds. This is a chance for any longer form discussion. We used to say that it came out of status updates, but generally it's thought of ahead of time now. So what you do is in the notes doc, you just drop your name and then what the topic is, and we'll kind of riff on it and try to answer it here in the Weeds section. And this is our last section before we wrap up. So Tectric did put a topic in, and if folks in the meeting now have other topics, feel free to add them while we talk about this one. Tetrick says, PyPI releases now require changes to how licenses are defined in pyproject.toml when building libraries for distribution on PyPI. There's a GitHub gist showing the example. The correct implementation removes the Trove classifiers and simplifies the project.license to a string. Tetrick says, I can patch the cookie cutter and also create a git adapt patch for all the libraries, but we'll need someone or a token with more elevated github.org permissions to help me actually run Adabot. There is an issue created for that in the cookie cutter repo. And then there's some comment that's crossed out that says, thanks, Foamy Guy. So that's what Tetrick's written in the notes doc. Tim, do you want to reply?
Yeah, definitely. So I would say for sure, like, go for it. And I'm happy to help out with running the Adabot patch, so just create the PR like normal, and then once that's in, I can run it for you. And I would also say, while you're looking into that, if you would also maybe check on the versions of things in like pre-commit and actions, it might be good to update some of that. I don't think the CircuitPython libraries specifically have this issue, but I've been running into an issue with some of the other infrastructure repos where the version of I think it's reuse that we have pinned in pre-commit is too old and does, I think, not work on current version of Python or something like that. So it causes those actions to fail. And I have been updating those reuse versions one at a time, but it would be nice maybe to just do a check over all the versions in pre-commit and the actions in the libraries if we're going to do a patch anyway. If there's any of those that we can update that don't cause like massive other changes, right? So, you know, we don't necessarily need to update ref if that's going to like change all the rules and we have a bunch of other stuff from it. But if there are any where we can just bump the version and that's going to make it work under newer Pythons, I would say maybe do those all at the same time as the rest of the patch for this PyPI stuff.
All right. Sounds good to me too. Thank you, Tetrick and Foamy Guy. All right. Lastly, let's wrap up. First, there's a note here that I added. Next week is the normal time, but if you're outside the U.S., the U.S. is going to change time to daylight savings time starting next weekend. So even though it's the normal time for us in the U.S., if you're outside the U.S., the time may shift by an hour. And I can never remember which way, but just a heads up for that. Double check the time if you're not in the U.S. And the actual wrap up, sorry, I scrolled too far down. This has been the CircuitPython spring forward, fall, yeah, spring forward. So I don't know what that means in terms of time. It's hard. This has been the weekly meeting for March 2nd, 2026. Thank you to everybody who participated. If you want to support Adafruit and CircuitPython and those of us that work on CircuitPython, consider purchasing from the Adafruit shop at adafruit.com. The video of this meeting will be released on YouTube at youtube.com/adafruit, and the podcast will be available everywhere. It will also be featured in the Python for Microcontrollers newsletter. Visit adafruitdaily.com to subscribe to that. The next meeting, like I said, is the normal time at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. Those are U.S. times, so if you are outside the U.S., it may shift because of daylight savings. It is held on the Adafruit Discord server, which you can join by going to the URL adafru.it/discord. If you want to be notified about the meeting and any changes to the time or day, you can ask to be added to the @CircuitPythonistas role on Discord. With that, we hope to see you all next week. Thank you, everyone.